Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let me say that's Bernice Lewis's father. They're transferring from North Carolina to medical center tomorrow. So let's pray for him. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. What about the temperature? Is anybody too hot? Anybody too cold? How many are just about right? That means some of you are here, present. Okay. Bob, you might check the temperature after a while, if you will, please. Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you for that glorious news that's, Lord, that's been handed down, that rings down through the annals of time, that he is not here, he is risen. Thank you for those glorious words of triumph and victory. And we thank you that because he lives, we too shall live also someday. We thank you that Jesus is the very resurrection himself, the resurrection personified. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Lord, help us to believe this today. With all of our souls and hearts and minds and strength. And thank you, Lord, because he lives, that he's a reigning now, seated at the right hand of the Father, from whence he'll come back to this earth and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Thank you for that blessed prospect of the believer today that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, today, encourage believers, those here that do not have the testimony of the risen Christ living within. They don't know him personally. May they get acquainted with Jesus before they leave here by inviting him into their heart and life to be their Savior and their friend and their Redeemer. And Lord, meet needs. May Jesus be glorified in this service. Now anoint me as I preach and defeat the devil and hindering spirits. May we get our minds on the risen Christ today and the coming Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, there were five things that were called to my attention out of verse 25 this past week. These five things, first of all, what a duty, as we see in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That is the great duty of every child of God, is to assemble ourselves for the worship and the exaltation of the blessed Son of God. It's our duty to, and it's a privilege, but it's a duty. And then notice what a defiance, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner some is. That is, every person who's saved ought to be in God's house every time the door opens. I mean, every time the door opens. Heard of one man that had his church roll, and another man was looking at going down to church roll, and some of the people's names on the side, there was SMO on a number of many of their names right over the side. And finally, the preacher asked the pastor, what does that SMO stand for? And he said, that means Sunday morning only. Now, if we were to go down by your name, you who are members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or any church, and your name's on church roll, would they have to put SMO in front of your name? We ought to be in God's house every time the door opens. I believe it's a sin against God. Stay home on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I mean, I don't get much. Well, come on. Listen, if you bring something to church, you'll probably get something when you come here. I wasn't dependent upon you for my blessing, brother. I wanted to pray, and I was looking to the Lord for my blessing, and he's already blessed me this morning. So we need to attend God's house. Then what a distinction. Exhorting one another. Some neglected God's house, but some of us ought to exhort one another in faithfulness and duty and in holiness. We ought to exhort one another. Then what a day, that approaching day. And then what a drive. The coming of Christ ought to inspire us to service and faithfulness. You ought to serve, you ought to get saved because Jesus is coming. And you're going to be left behind. And then you ought to serve the Lord and be faithful because you're going to have to give an account. You who are saved, when you see Jesus, you're going to have to give an account. That ought to be a driving force in our life. But not this morning. I want us just to mention today, I want us to think, our attention to be centered on that approaching day. There are many days listed or mentioned in God's Word. There's a day of salvation. God, I believe, has a day for man to be saved. People think they can hear the gospel and the Lord speak to their heart and just keep on and on and on in rejection. You know, I don't believe you have many times to get saved in this life. Because you're going to get saved when God speaks to your heart. And if I believe there's just a few times that God's doing business with man. And boy, you better get in when God's doing business with your soul. Or you may miss salvation. And He says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Then there's the day of wrath, when God's wrath is poured out on this earth. And then there's the day of the Lord. That's synonymous with the day of wrath, when God's judgments start falling. The day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah. Then there's the day of Christ. And this refers to the day when our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes back for His church, raptures out those who are alive, and resurrects and raptures out those who have died in the Lord. And today, I want us to look at the approaching day, which I believe is the day of Christ when Jesus comes for His church in the air. Old Dr. Lakin, I never will forget many times he said from this pulpit right here, He's not looking for the undertaker, He's looking for the uppertaker. And one day I saw the undertaker get Him before the uppertaker got Him. I was there when they rolled Dr. Lakin out. But I am looking for the uppertaker. He's coming back. And I want us just to think of that great approaching day when Jesus will come for His saints and the great first resurrection. Now I believe that this day is coming soon because, folks, this things are falling apart everywhere we look. Homes are falling apart. Over a half of marriages end in divorce. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. A great tragedy that's going to bring our nation down to its knees. Our destruction of our homes. And then governments are falling apart everywhere. There's political confusion on every hand. Society is falling apart. Immorality and drunkenness and drugs and despair everywhere. Churches are falling apart. Compromise, our churches are full of compromise today. Compromise with apostasy, compromise with sin, compromise with the world, compromise with the devil. Everywhere our churches are full of compromise and confusion. Every church in America, almost it seems like, there's confusion throughout the church. God's not the author of confusion. And coldness. Churches are cold as last year's bird's nest. I mean, people will go to the ball games and they'll say, go, go, go for a touchdown. And come to God's house and sit there as cold as last year's bird's nest and dry as last year's bird's nest. Folks, we need to realize we serve a living Christ. And we don't have to act like death froze over when we come to God's house. I mean, it ought to be a joyful occasion for you to worship the risen Savior today. But our churches are falling apart. A lot of our independent Baptist preachers are about ready, and Christians are about ready to throw in the towel and yoke back up with Baal. Don't do it. Don't do it. That day is approaching. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Now let me just call your attention to a few things about that approaching day this morning. First of all, that day is going to be a day of revelation. First of all, the bridegroom is going to reveal himself to the bride, the church. Won't that be a wonderful day? We've had many beautiful weddings in this church. Had a wedding on Friday night, yes. And it's always a joyous occasion when a bride comes down the aisle and is presented to the groom. But what a day. The most glorious wedding the world has ever seen is going to be when our heavenly bridegroom reveals himself and calls for his bride, the church, to come up in the air. And then, a lot of things wrong with the church now. But in that day, we'll be changed. We'll be caught up and changed. And we'll be a church, glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. We're going to be a wonderful day of revelation. But on the other hand, there will be another revelation taking place on this earth. A man of sin, 666, will be revealed to a lost world as the Savior of the world. First 3.5 years, he'll be revealed as a great man of peace. And then in the last 3.5 years, the devil will incarnate that man, and he will become a beast-like man and be a world dictator and demanding universal worship. So that day will be a day of revelation. But also that day when our Savior appears for his own will be a day of resurrection. Because of that first Easter morning, because he was alive, he came out of that tomb, and he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Because he lives, we shall live also. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery that has not, it's revealed now, but it hitherto had not been revealed." Paul said, "Let me tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Folks, there is a great resurrection day coming for the saints of God. Notice quickly two alls in that verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul said, "We shall not all sleep." Now what is he talking about? Is he talking about those that all of us don't sleep while a preacher's preaching on Sunday morning? Not all do, thank the Lord. And it's talking about "we shall not all sleep" means the sleep of death. That's an indefinite all. There are going to be many Christians who are alive when Jesus comes back, and we will escape death. And I never did want to be business for an undertaker. Brother, I want to get in that first all, don't you? And I want to cheat death. That's not one of my overwhelming desires, Brother Sandy, is to be a business for an undertaker. Well, I thank the Lord for our fine undertakers. But those of us who are alive when Jesus comes back will be caught up. We'll not all have to sleep, those who are alive when Jesus comes back. But there's a certain all, but we shall all be changed. Everyone saved and alive or saved and in the grave will be, those who are dead in Christ will be caught out. And then those of us dead and alive will be changed and resurrected and caught up to be see Jesus yonder in the sky at this great approaching day. And then it'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that quick. And the time will be at the last trump. So that day, the approaching day, is a day of resurrection. And also it's a day of rapture. Now I am a premillennialist, if that means anything to you. It means a whole lot to me. And it ought to you. You ought not go to church if that preacher is not a premillennialist and a pre-tribulation rapturist too. I mean both of them. Get the whole ball of wax. He believes that Jesus is coming back before the tribulation and rapturing out the saints and before the millennium and rapturing us out. Pre-mill and pre-trib. That's what you ought to be. If you ain't, you ought to be. Listen, you might have your ticket punched to go out in the middle of the tribulation. You may have your ticket punched to go out after the tribulation, but I want you to know I've got my ticket punched to go out before the tribulation. And as I go up through the air, I'm going to wave back at you and say, "I told you so. The church ain't going through no tribulation." Now, the tribulation may be going through the church now, that, brother, we're not going through the great tribulation. Would you do your bride that way? No, you wouldn't. Jesus is not going to do his bride that way either. But rapture means more than just, I believe, it means that a person can be raptured in spirit, just caught up in spirit. Now, we're going to be caught up physically, but I believe, brother, it's going to be a spiritual. We're going to be caught up and we're going to be raptured in spirit when we see Jesus. The rapture means we're going to see Jesus, not just we're going to be caught up and have a physical new body, but folks, we're going to see Jesus. And our souls will be enraptured as well as our bodies. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised. Then we will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air, together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that will be, that approaching day of the Lord's return for his children. Then also, that day will be a day of rejoicing. It will be a time of rejoicing when we see our loved ones. I have loved ones. It's already going on. You have too. Won't that be a day when we see our departed loved ones? I have a dad. Hadn't seen him for, be over 30 years. I'm going to see my dad when that day appears. It'll be a time of rejoicing when we see our loved ones, when we see all the saints of all the ages. And it'll be a time of rejoicing when we see Jesus and get our glorified body. But now the Word of God says this is going to be a special time of rejoicing when we see the souls we have won to Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" What are you going to have to rejoice about when you see Jesus? "Are not even ye," Paul said, talking to his converts there in the church of Thessalonica, "are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, our rejoicing in that approaching day when we see Christ will not be over our education we've attained or our fame that we've attained in this life or all the money. That money won't cause you any rejoicing in the day of Christ. Or you won't be rejoicing over your good works. You won't say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm good," or "I'm glad I had a big bus route," or "I pastored a big church," or "had a big Sunday school class." No, this special time of day of rejoicing will be when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. We will rejoice with all those who we've won to Christ, who are standing there in their glorified bodies. That will be a special time of rejoicing. And those we've won to Jesus will be our crown of rejoicing when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Will you be able to rejoice in that coming day when we all stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? Because standing there, there will be some that will come up to you and say, "I'm glad you told me about Jesus. I'm glad you told me that he'd save me if I just call on him. And I'm glad, I want to thank you for telling me about Jesus." And you can rejoice together while the ages roll. And boy, that's what the soul standing there will be a great reason for rejoicing at this great day. Let me ask you this, if you ever won a soul to Jesus Christ, is there someone that you can point to that you, if you're saved, that you have won to Jesus Christ? Now, if not, you will not be awarded the crown of rejoicing in that day, because that crown of rejoicing is the soul winner's crown. We all ought to be soul winners for Jesus. Folks, if the message of a risen Christ is real and true and authentic, and it is, then we ought to go out and tell a lost world that a Savior is alive forevermore. And he's seated at the right hand of God. He ever liveth to make intercession for the transgressor. We ought to spread the word. Then also, this day will be a day of review. Now certainly it's going to be wonderful to get rid of these old bodies, throw away those glasses, Aren't they necessary evils? I'll tell you. I'm thankful for them, but they're necessary evils. But it'll be wonderful to get rid of these old bodies and get a perfect body. And get a body like Jesus. And it'll be wonderful to see our loved ones and see Jesus. Certainly it will. But let me remind you of this. That one of the first things that will happen after we're raptured up in our new body and caught in the presence of the Lord, the first thing that's going to happen, folks, is that our lives, our ministry, our service, our faithfulness as believers will be reviewed before the judgment stand, the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ on which our Savior will be the judge and He'll review us. Now, we won't stand there. We were saved to see where we're saved or lost. That'll take place a thousand years later at the great white throne judgment. Saved people never be at that. But our lives will come under the scrutiny of the piercing gaze of the omniscient Son of God. Hey, folks, stop and think. You, if you're saved, you're going to stand before the Lord out there and have your life reviewed. Now, if you're unsaved, you won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. You will be at the great white throne judgment to be judged. And nobody will be saved at the great white throne judgment. Those of the unsaved will be brought there for condemnation. And the judgment seat of Christ is just for reward or lack of reward, not to see where a person's saved or not. Romans 14:10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Page 1214 in your old Scofield reference Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, 12. Now, if any man build, and every man is building, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, you're building on, your life is being built on these kind of building materials. And then the Word of God continues, every man's work shall be made manifest. Hey, what you're building on will be made manifest. The divine inspector is going to inspect your life to see what kind of materials your life has been made of someday. For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, where all of our lives will have to be scrutinized by the judgment fires of the Lord. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire, or you'll be saved if your works are burned up at the judgment seat of Christ, but you'll be saved by the skin of your teeth. So folks, in our lives and in our service, for we'd better quit trying to please men, and we had better seek to please the Lord. Now, I want to please you, but first of all, I want to please the Lord. Because ultimately, my responsibility is to please Him. And one day, all that we do and even our motives for doing what we do will be reviewed by the Lord, who will be seated on the Bema seat at the judgment seat of Christ. Then also this day, the coming up day, the approaching day of Christ, when He comes for His own, will not only be a day of reviewing, but it'll be a day of reward. Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The Lord's going to come when He comes, and He's going to give every Christian according to his works, rewards according to his work. And salvation is not a reward now. If you keep that in mind, you'll keep these judgments straight. Salvation is what God gives you by grace, unmerited favor when you trust Jesus. It's not a reward. You're saved by believing. Rewards are for your faithfulness. You know, I don't want to suffer loss in that day at the Bema seat. I don't want my life and ministry to be inspected by the Lord Jesus and hear those words fall from His lips, wood, hay, stubble. Wouldn't that be terrible? To stand, serve the Lord all these years and one day stand before the Bema seat and have my life reviewed and hear those words fall from the lips of the Savior, wood, hay, stubble. After all these years, been here almost 26 years, been serving the Lord for over 40 years, how sad it would be if I'd hear Him say about my works, no good, and then see all of my works burned up and just make it by the skin of my teeth. I want Jesus one day to review my works and my life and declare it gold, silver, precious stone. And folks, if we'll live for His glory, if we'll live for Jesus' glory, and if we'll live to please Him, and if we'll serve Him out of a sincere heart, we can have those, that declaration, and that day, gold, silver, precious stone. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Hey, Christian, if Jesus would come right now, would you be ashamed? Would you be ashamed? That day is going to be a day of revelation, a day of resurrection, a day of rapture, a day of rejoicing, a day of review, a day of reward, but also it's going to be a glad and glorious and grand day of reunion. We'll be caught up together in the air in that day with all of our loved ones and with all of the saints who've gone on before. And we'll see Jesus there yonder in the air. Talk about a reunion. What a great reunion day that's going to be on that great getting up morning, as the old song says. We'll see Abraham. We'll see Isaac. We'll see Jacob. We'll see Moses. Oh, don't you want to be in that crowd, brother? If you don't get saved, that you won't be in that crowd. And you won't get to see these great men of God. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And Elijah, the great prophet of God, calling down fire from God out of heaven. And he's a man just like I am, you are. You'll be there. Paul, the great apostle. John the Baptist, that great preacher, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, Savonarola, the man who served faithfully and who was executed by the Roman Catholic Church many years ago. Billy Sunday, I'd like to see him slide into second base. He was a big league ball player before God called him to preach. And he'd illustrate sometime upon the platform, sliding into second base on the platform, illustrate a point. And then D.L. Moody, a great man who took two continents, one in each hand, and brought them both closer to God. And Charles Finney, the mighty revivalist. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And on and on and on. All of the blood-washed throne. Brother, that's my crowd. That blood-washed throne. That crowd that of God's family. That's my crowd today. I hope you're a member of the blood-washed family, the blood-washed throne, the blood-washed crowd that's going to rejoice one day standing there in the presence of the Lord. You know, I grew up down in a little coal mining town of Sauter, Tennessee, down in southeast Tennessee. There were a lot of great saints of God down there when I was a boy. My grandmother Lashley was a great saint of God. And she would, they walked, didn't have a car, and they'd walk to church. Every time they went to church, they'd walk to church. And they'd get to talking about Jesus. My grandmother Lashley would start shouting before she ever got to church. And she walked with God. And then Aunt Sir Jane McAllister, another great lady who walked with God. I mean, she just lived in the presence of God. And then there was my Uncle Will, a man that knew how to get in touch with heaven. My Uncle Jim was a drunkard, awful drunkard. God saved him by His grace, and he never touched another drop of that stuff till the day he died. Brother, I believe, I'm glad I was around the old time religion when I grew up. I'm glad I was around people who genuinely got born again. I mean, got saved by God's grace. And my daddy was the greatest daddy a boy ever had. And he's lying in the cemetery, Dallas Cemetery, down near the Tennessee River, Chattanooga. He's coming out of there someday. I look forward to seeing all these great, the saints of God and all of my loved ones, but folks down inside, I've got a longing to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus someday. I was saved over almost 41 years ago this summer, I believe it is, or 44 years ago this summer. And I've been preaching Jesus for about 36 years this spring, I think it is. And in that day, I've never seen Jesus with my physical eye, but I've felt his presence many times in my life. And this faith walk is a satisfying walk, just to trust Jesus and look to him. But one day, I'm going to lay aside this faith walk, and I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Won't that be a wonderful day when we look upon his lovely face and then follow wherever the Lamb leads for all eternity? Won't that be a wonderful day? And that day is approaching. What a day that will be. My Savior, I'll see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Because he lives. Because the tomb was empty. And he lives this morning. He lives on high. He's seated at the right hand of God right now, ever living to make intercession for the transgressor. He wants to save you. He's able to save you this morning. And then one day, because he lives, he's coming back after his children. And all of us, we caught up. Those in the graves who die in Jesus will be caught out. And then we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air in that great approaching day. Are you ready if Jesus would come back today? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Folks, he's real this morning. There's a reality in being saved. There's a reality in knowing Christ. There's a reality in being ready to meet the Lord. He's real to those who are born again. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving unless it's an absolute essential. How many can say, "Preacher, I'm glad that I can say today that he's real to me, that he lives within my heart, that I've been saved, and that I've been born again. If Jesus would come back right now, I have the assurance down in my soul." Oh, I'm not asking if you're perfect. No, none of us are perfect. But can you say that if Jesus would come back right now, I have the assurance that I'd be caught up to meet him because I've been saved and born again? If you can say that, just raise your hand right now as a testimony. Just raise your hand. Just shake it a little. Wave it a little bit. Amen. Put your hands back down. Now, most of you could say that. Just a few here and there couldn't say that. But you know the Lord loves you. And he died for you, and he loves you this morning. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should become repentance. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me." Oh, listen this morning. Give the Lord a chance. This is the day when the Lord wants to save somebody in this crowd, or maybe many. Maybe there's Christians. You've wandered from God, and the Lord is not real like he used to be. You need to come back and get on your knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness and be restored to a place of happiness and usefulness in the cause of Christ. How many here today say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a while ago, but there's a need in my heart." Or maybe you've never been saved, or maybe you have been saved and there's a need in your heart. But you'll say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need prayer today." Just slip your hand up all over the house. Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Just slip your hand back down. Yes, God bless you over here. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Let the Lord, He's real and He wants to work in your life. You say, preacher, you don't know my situation. Oh, God's able to help you right where you are. God's able to meet that need of your heart. He's able to come in and give satisfaction and joy where there's misery and doubt and gloom. God's able to straighten your life out. What He's done for others, He can do for you, I'll assure you. There's power in the name of Jesus. And He's alive. He's alive. Give Him a chance in your life. Anyone else? Just slip your hand right up. Just slip your hand, hold it right up. Yes, put it back down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Right before I pray now. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you back here. Anyone else? We've prayed for people here that's seated here this morning, and you haven't raised your hand. We've prayed for you. Let us pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just slip the hand right up. Oh, listen. Let me pray for you. Let these who know how to pray, pray for you. Anyone else? The Holy Spirit speak in your heart. Just slip your hand up. Yes, God bless you back here. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Right quick. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I want to pray right before I pray. Anyone else, preacher? There's a need in my life. I have been saved, but I've drifted from the Lord. A preacher, I've never been saved. And if the Lord had come back right now, I'd be left behind. But I do want to know Christ. Pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone else? Sir, let Him have His way in your life today. Ma'am, let Him have His way. Young person, let Jesus have His way in your life. Let Him come in and He'll make some changes and give you something worth living for. Anyone else? Slip your hand. Anyone else? Right before I pray. Father, we thank You today that Jesus is alive forevermore. Thank You He's able to save all that come unto God by Him. And Father, there's many needs here in this place today. And oh, Holy Spirit, help people to see that for them, this is the day of salvation. And may they come and cry out to God and be delivered from sin and be born in the family of God today. Help some people, Lord, to get things right with the Christians that need to come and be restored and be forgiven and be restored to a place of usefulness. May they come. Maybe they've wandered out of God's will. May they come. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll open somebody's heart to Jesus and to a renewed life today in this service. These that raised their hand, may they all come, and Lord, down this aisle to Jesus today. And we'll thank You. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing number 282. I believe this is a day of salvation for many of you. I won't forget many years ago when I first started preaching on Easter Sunday morning how God opened a lady's heart as a young preacher and she was gloriously saved. I won't forget that. Easter's a wonderful time to get saved. Easter's a wonderful time to get right with God. Anytime is a good time to get right with Jesus. So. And we're your friends. I want to help you. There's other people who want to help you. You need help from the Lord. If you're not saved, if you're a Christian out of the will of God, just come on down. I wouldn't worry about this crowd. I haven't worried about them while I preached. Because I had a message from God for you. Don't worry about people. Say, Lord, I'm coming to You. Lord, I'm coming to You today. I've put this thing off a long time. Lord, I'm going to come to You. Just come on to Jesus. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Don't worry about it. Just come on to the Lord. He'll take care of everything. You can't take care of it. You've got yourself in a mess, haven't you? He'll take care of it if you give Him a chance. Just come on to the Lord. Come on. Preacher, you trying to get us to join your church? No, I'm trying to get you to Jesus. If you want to join the church, fine, but I'm trying to get you to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. The invitation is come to Christ. Come, we'll pray with you and help you. Point you to Christ. Everyone who raised your hand, if you didn't raise your hand when the invitation's given, you meet me right here in the front. Now stand and sing 282. Come on the very first word, you who raised your hand. Come on, as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that I am blind.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. There was, I'd say, at least 10 or 12 raised your hands for prayer. And oh, listen, don't say no to the Savior. We've prayed for you. Won't you come out right now? Come down this aisle for Jesus. Don't say no to Christ. Or if you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to have the choir to sing another verse right now. And you who raised your hand, would you? We've prayed for you. Are you interested enough in the eternal welfare of your soul to just come right, slip right out right now? Just start coming. When the choir starts singing the next verse, with heads bowed and eyes closed now, just come on. Ma'am, come on. Young lady, come on. Sir, young fella, come on. As the choir sings, just slip right out. You raise your hand. Come right on right now. Come on. That's right. Others of you, come on. Back in the back, on the back row. Sir, won't you come? Won't you come? For this one that came, sing the next verse. Come on, you. Come on, you raised your hand over here and back here. Won't you come? Won't you come? Down here, won't you come? Eyes closed, we're going to sing one of the verse. Thank the Lord for these who came from the children's church. But the Lord, I believe, wants others to step out. Come out of your sin. Come out of your defeated life. And come to Jesus and find real life. Oh, don't say no to the Savior again. You need to join the church. Whatever the decision you need to make, just come on right now. This is the last verse. If no one comes, we'll be through. Come on. Don't say no to Christ. If he's leading, if you feel impressed to the Spirit, come on right now. We'll help you and pray with you. We're your friends. We love you. We want to point you to Jesus. Come on as the choir sings one of the verse. Won't you come? Come on. You'll never regret it. Never regret it. Coming day, thank the Lord for these two precious girls came over from our children's church and this lady here who came this morning. And let's see, all of the boys and girls, let's see, grades 1 through 6 right now, go back to your Sunday school class or department. Grades 1 through 6, you in grades 1 through 6, and so we're in Sunday school. Slip back to your department before we're dismissed. We want these boys and girls to go back to their department. Oh, the primary church and children's church. Go back to the primary church and children's church. Primary church and children's church. Okay, we appreciate having you in God's house today. Come back tonight. We'll be speaking out of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Be praying for our young people. We'll be going down to the Bob Jones College Days this afternoon. Be down there a couple of days. Thank you for coming this morning. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed with prayer. Brother Bob Milhorn, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?